The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Mrs. Caminal. Mrs. Caminal is a wonderful secretary, is our church secretary, and my personal secretary, and does a wonderful, wonderful job. By the way, tonight at 6 o'clock, I'll be preaching a message on Remember Hope. Remember Hope, and that's not a person's name, okay? And so he said, who's Hope? Who's Hope? Come tonight, you'll learn who Hope is, okay? But Remember Hope, that is tonight. And notice this in your Bible, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 again. The Bible says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5 says this. It says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so I want to speak this morning on from survivors to overcomers. From survivors to overcomers. There are several times in my youth and my childhood days, I remember back when God just helped me to overcome some things. I remember, of course, we had a cherry tree when I came up on the farm in the Millers, Maryland area, being raised by my grandparents. I remember looking at the tree and the tree talking to me and saying, climb me, climb me. I remember when I was 6 years of age, I took the challenge and I climbed, I scurried up the best I could. The tree had to get a step ladder. I remember that, had to get a step ladder, and I climbed up the step ladder till I got my first branch. I was 6 years old, but I knew where the step ladder was. And I put it there, climbed up the step ladder, got on the first branch, and then got on the second one, scurried all the way up the tree, got up there, got afraid, looked down, thought I'll never get out of here. I'm going to die in the top of the cherry tree. And so I looked down, began to get really afraid, called for my grandfather, and I called for granddad to come help me, and he looked up, and he saw me up there, and he said, well, just go ahead. He had to climb all the way up, close as he could. I was way up there, where only a little guy could step on a little branch and survive without falling and breaking their neck. If it would have been a bigger guy stepping on the branch, no hope. They come down quicker than they went up. And so, but I remember him getting as close as he could, and finally he coached me down, was able to put his hand out there. I stepped on his hand. That became the way to get down the rest of the way. All right? Man, I felt good. I overcame, and I made it out of the cherry tree. I remember when I was a young guy, my grandparents bought me my first pony. I remember the day. I was 7 years, 8 years of age, and man, they bought me my first pony. They put it up to the rig, and they said, you're old enough now to have your own pony. And I thought, man, that is great. And so I remember seeing the corn cob, and I thought, you know, corn cob, I want to see how fast the pony can run. And so I picked up, it was a bad thing, picked up the corn cob, and I threw it at the back of the pony, hitting the pony in the rear. Pony took off. We had 280 acres. It took them a half a day to catch the pony. After that, my granddad looked at me and said, changed our mind. You're not old enough to have a pony. But I remember the feelings of disparity there. And I remember overcoming those feelings as a young man, thinking that they did wrong instead of me doing wrong. I remember that. I remember how to overcome. I remember my brother and I, we had a ranch house, of course, our family out in the country in on Maple Grove Road. We had a bull that was Fred Wise, our neighbor, lived down the lane beside us. We had a bull, and so my brothers and I, we just kept talking about it. We can outrun that bull. We can outrun that bull. You know, if you talk about something long enough, you'll probably convince yourself that you can do it. Somebody says, if you date it long enough, you'll marry it. Isn't it true? Okay, and so we kept thinking about that bull. We can outrun the bull. And then it came from thinking about it to challenging each other. I can outrun the bull. No, I can outrun the bull. No, I can outrun the bull faster than you can outrun the bull. No, I can outrun the bull faster. Okay, challenge. here's what's going to, on this day, we're going to see who can outrun the bull faster. Never will forget it. Never will forget it. And my brother said, my brother Dave, let's flip for it. So we flipped. It landed on me. I said, maybe we ought to flip again. He said, no. He said, you're the lucky one. I felt real lucky about that time. He said, here's how we'll do it. You get out in front of the bull. He said, I'll hit it back here as hard as I can. It'll look up, see you, be mad at you. If you outrun the bull, dive over the electrical fence, you win. I was 9 years old. I wasn't very smart back then. You win. He said, if the bull runs over you, you lose. And I thought, well, it makes sense. Makes sense. I said, I'll do it. Wasn't very bright back then. Got in front of the bull. My brother hit it. I don't know what he hit it with, but the bull got mad. The bull saw me, started chasing me down. It was a decline all the way down. Started chasing me down. I didn't jump over the fence. I lost my footing. I went into a roll and rode underneath the fence, but I beat the bull. Okay, now, and I thought, man, overcome. Remember, first time I ever went hunting on my own, I was about 10 or 11, went hunting on my own, had my own, I took a shotgun with me, I was going to go out, I'd go squirrel hunting, had my dog with me. And we're going to go out, we're going to spend a couple of days in the woods. It's just out there, just going to live off the land, well, and my granola bars and stuff like that I took with me. And so here I was out in the woods, about 9 years old or so, first time to ever go on my own. And so here I'm out in the woods, got my dog Blackie. I got lost. I'm out in the woods, can't find my way home. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. It's getting dark. The woods are filled with goblins at dark. I thought somebody's going to kidnap me. Nobody around there even cared, you know. But I thought somebody's going to kidnap me. And so, man, you know, I found my way home after about 3 hours of going through the woods as a 9-year-old boy. I remember laying in my bed that night, and I thought, man, I overcome. Hey, there's so many times I can look back in my life, and I can see just different evidences of overcoming things all the way through. I remember the story, of course, in my life, very real to me, that when my parents came to pick me up from the farm, and I got to know my parents in a deep, fashionable way, you know, fell in love with them, super. Okay, overcome. Remember, first day I ever preached in my life, I'm kind of skipping over some years, but public school, I remember starting a Bible club, the very first Bible club ever started, North Carroll High School. I started it, and I remember doing that in a public school, watching many of my friends come. I remember going and asking people what to teach, because I had no idea. They'd tell me what to teach, and of course, one of those being my pastor, great help. But I remember overcoming some things. Never will forget when I surrendered to preach. I thought, man, that's over. You know, you surrender, you'll never have to do it. Just surrender. Get God off your back. It's okay. I surrendered. I never will forget. The Wednesday night after I surrendered on a Sunday night in church. We ran about 1,500 on Sunday nights. Walked down the aisle, stood in the front, looked at my pastor, and I said, God has called me to preach. He announced it to the church. People were excited. People came by, shook the hand. I said, wow, I'm done. You announce it, it's over. It's over. Never have to do it. It's over. It's done. I remember that. Then I remember Wednesday night, some guys coming to my dorm room and saying, it's time. I said, it's time for what? They said, you're preaching tonight. I said, you're crazy. They said, no, you're preaching tonight. We have it all rigged up for you. It's arranged. It's scheduled. You're going down to the rescue mission. You're preaching tonight. I said, guys, leave me alone. Go away. They said, no, you're preaching tonight for real. Mike, we got it all lined up. There was three guys. Two of them was in my room. The other guy waiting down by the car, and I was being Christian mugged. They took me down, put me in the back seat of the car, rode down to the rescue mission, introduced me as the special speaker for the night, and I preached for the very first time, scared to death. I preached about 7 minutes, maybe eight. I don't know what I said. Had no idea. All I know is five men came forward and wanted to be saved. I thought that was a miracle in itself. They received Christ as Savior. I rejoiced with them. Driving back in the car, I thought, you know, maybe I'd like to do this the rest of the day of my life. Overcome. First time I ever preached in a church service. You ever done this? My throat, my mouth, my tongue, it was all dry. You wish it was still dry, but it was all dry. You know, I'm standing up. My knees are playing the tambourines. My heart is pounding. The drums are going off. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. My hands are all sweaty, yet they're still cold. I mean, it's crazy. I got up. I preached. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I didn't do a good job. I walked out of the church auditorium. Two older ladies. I learned not to say old. Two older ladies stopped me. And they said, "Don't worry. It has to get better from this." Great encouraging words to a young man. In other words, it cannot get any worse. I remember that. I remember the first time I ever preached in front of over 10,000 people, scared to death, but overcome. I remember first time going soul winning, knocking on the door, hoping nobody would answer. I remember that. I remember not even remembering my name when somebody came to the door. And my partner had to say, "You're Mike." "Oh, thanks." Overcome. I remember the first time somebody ever came to a counseling appointment. And they said, "Pastor, we need your help." And I said, "We need to pray." We really do. Because, and in my heart, I'm thinking, because if you want me to help you, we really need God. Many years ago. But I remember overcoming. Now, here's what the Bible says to the believer. The Bible says that it says that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, let me speak to you for a few minutes about going from surviving to overcoming. Let me give you some statements here. Statement number one, you must, as a believer, overcome. You must, as a believer, overcome. Here's what it says, 1 John chapter 2. You're in 1 John. You could skip over back a couple pages to chapter 2. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." It says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Look at verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life," the Bible says, "is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, I want you to notice three things he lists here that is not of the Father. He says the lust of the flesh. Now, that speaks about your passion. Your passion. You ever see somebody get passionate over something? They get passionate over a ball game. They get passionate over eating. They get passionate over shopping. They get passionate over maybe reading a book or watching a television program, okay? And they're passionate about that. They get passionate about going out and giving it their very best, okay? Now, wait a minute. He says the lust of the flesh. That speaks of your passion. Then he says the lust of the eyes. That speaks of your possession. You know, the lust of the eyes. You ever see somebody lust after something? "Man, I got to have that car. Man, I've got to have that house. Man, that watch that man wears, wish I had a watch like that. I got to have that watch." You know, it speaks of possession. You see a girl walking down the hallway. "Man, one day I'd like to have her as my girlfriend." Speaks of a possession. You know, I like to be able to take and be able to have the skill to shoot the basketball that way. It speaks of a possession, something that you want. There's the lust of the eyes. Have to be careful about it. Then there's the pride of life. That speaks of a position, of a position. Many people, the pride of life, man, I want to be the very best. I want to rise to the top of whatever I'm in. It speaks of that which is a pride of life, a position, if you will. John chapter 16 and verse 33 uses the word overcome. It says, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. It says, in the world, it says, ye have tribulation. It says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All right, now wait a minute. Now he just described what the world was, or worldliness. He just described about being in the world, being consumed of lust, being consumed with the lust of that which is the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He said, that's not of the Father. He said, but I want you to know, he said, I've overcome these things. All right, now wait a minute. If I'm walking with somebody that has overcome some things, then they can help me to overcome. They can do it. If I'm walking along and somebody else is not overcoming, but yet I'm walking along and I am overcoming, then I can help somebody else to be able to overcome. Now, I'm saying that we must overcome. There is victories there for every single person that's a believer. Now, he said this. He said, I've overcome, therefore you can overcome. You cannot overcome things that's giving you problems in life by yourself. My Bible says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay? And so I can overcome. Let me state statement number two. I said number one, we must overcome. Statement number two, we can be overcomers. Notice in your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 again. The Bible says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's almost like a, by the way, our faith. It's almost like this is the way, our faith. So what overcomes the world? Our faith. The acrostics for faith is given many years ago. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. All right, now wait a minute. And so if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, that is this direction. Oh, okay, illustration. Let me get these two guys here. Okay, bring your Bible, leave yours. You come over here. All right, here we go. My faith is built upon the Word of God. How many believe that? Raise your hand. Let me ask you to help me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of?
God.
One more time. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of?
God.
All right, so the way I build my faith is by the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. That's why Sunday school is a help. Preaching is a help. Coming to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible conferences. The more you hear the Word of God, the more it builds your faith. So the more I get around the Word of God, the more it builds my faith. Now the Bible says that my faith is the only thing that can help me to overcome the world. That's the only thing. So here's what I've got. I got the world that's pulling on me. I got the world. By the way, when you go out, you walk in the mall. You don't hear, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You don't hear that. You don't hear, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You don't hear that. You know, you hear another gigolo. All right? And so what happens is, you know, here it is. It's pulling on me all the time. I got my flesh inside of me that's pulling on me all the time. I say, oh, I know I need to go to Sunday school. I need to go to preaching. That's what I need to do. I'm going to take off and go do it. And my flesh says, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. You need your beauty sleep. Don't do that. By the way, I've heard people say it's harder to get up on Sunday morning than it is any other day of the week. You know, let's just sleep in a little bit. Need the beauty sleep. Look, I'm not being mean, but it hasn't helped yet. All right? And so, man, it pulls on me. It pulls on me. It pulls on me. All right, now wait a minute. I need something that has a greater leverage, if you will. Something that is more, you know, God, come here, Brother Rook. Something. All right, so God brings a Sunday school teacher in your life, pastor in your life, Their faith is big. 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 Yeah, and he's got big, big hands, big arms, and I'm about to die. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that it is the faith that overcomes the world. Thank you. Let go of me. Years ago, there was a guy, had two dogs. And they were fighter dogs. And he would put them, he owned both of them. He put them out there. People would bet on what dog would win. It happened for years upon years. Finally, one guy just kept watching what this guy was doing. Said, I don't understand it. You know, how is it you own the dogs? How is it that you always won? Oh, he said, that's easy. He said, see, it's the dog that I fed the most that would win. The other dog I didn't feed all week. Can I tell you, the stronger you become, it's not because all of a sudden you say, I want to become strong, and you don't put action to it. You got to feed yourself. Got to feed yourself. How do you feed yourself? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to be strong as a believer, you need more of the word of God in you. You get more of the word of God in you, it is our faith that overcomes the world. Okay? So I got the world pulling. I got the faith pulling. I've got the Bible pulling. Here we go. Help me. And what's going to happen, I can take and pull the world in this direction, if you would please, to even have a variance on the way the world thinks. Come on. I've been listening to my Bible. All of a sudden, the world says a bad word. When the world says a bad word and tries to pull me, my faith is strong. And they say, man, you mean I shouldn't be speaking that way? I don't understand it. I don't see necessarily what's wrong with it, but I see that you think it's wrong, therefore I won't do it in your presence. You can have a testimony inside of the world. You mean you don't like the way I say that? You don't agree with the way I say that? Hey, you get God inside of you more and more through that which is a truth of the Bible. Now, when you get saved, you get all of God, but you don't get all of his knowledge. You don't get all of his wisdom. You don't get all of his power. That comes from the Bible. Amen. Right, wait a minute. Thank you. And you can be seated, Brother Rook. Thank you so much. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. So you need to have that faith that is built. Now the Bible says, he that overcometh the world, it says, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Years ago, Helen Keller was born, and she was blind, she couldn't see, and somebody came to Helen after many years of her being blind and couldn't see. And they said, don't you ever get depressed. Walking around, you can't see the roses, you can't see the sky, you can't see the wonderful things that God has created. Don't you ever get depressed. Here's what she says. She says, the marvelous riches of human experience would be lost if all I looked for was the joy of seeing. I am not limited to my joy based on my limitations of sight. I'm on the hilltop every hour of my life because it is in the darkest valleys that you gain the greatest sight. So it's not because of the things that happen to you that ought to pull you down. It does depend on your view of those happenings. Now, wait a minute. Can I help you to change your view? Where does it start? Here's what it says in John chapter 5 and verse 4. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It requires a new birth. In order for me to overcome the world, Nicodemus came to Jesus late at night. John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night and saith on him, Rabbi, we know not, it says, we know that thou art a teacher from God. It says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except be of God. Now, this is what it says here. And Jesus answering and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it takes that born again. Born again. Now, by the way, that's a one-time experience. The Bible doesn't say you must be born again and again and again and again. It's not a perpetual state of being. It's a one-time experience. It's knocking on the door yesterday, witness to this dear gentleman, and he started giving me all these religious cantations, and I said, well, I got a question for you. When were you born again? He stood there looking at me kind of dumb. He said, what do you mean? I said, I am glad you asked. All right? Now, I'm saying this. There has to be a time when a person understands, as a sinner, you have no hope. As a sinner, you're condemned to a place that's called hell. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten of the Father, are you listening to me? Full of righteousness and truth, went to the cross, bore your sin, paid the debt, and only in Christ and Christ alone can you have forgiveness of sin. That's called being born again when you call upon Him and ask Him to be your Savior. All right? Now, and so it requires that which is being born again. Statement number two, it requires belief. It requires belief. The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, he that overcometh the world must believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So believing the baptistry doesn't help me to overcome the world. Believing and trying to keep one of the Ten Commandments does not help me to overcome the world. Listen to what your Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Person says, well, I'm going to try and get to heaven by works. You won't make it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. A good person can be baptized and still burn in hell. A good person can go to church and still die one day and burn in hell. A person can be somebody that practices righteous actions and still die and burn to hell, and they'll burn in hell, and they'll never be able to overcome. How is it that we overcome? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6 has the answer. The Bible says, he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but it says by water and blood. It says, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit of truth. All right, now wait a minute. So it takes that which is a blood atonement. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 14, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It says, even a forgiveness of sins. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 12, the Bible says, by his blood, it says, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 19, the Bible says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the lamb without blemish and without spot. The Bible talks about how a person comes to God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God, John the Baptist baptizing in the River Jordan. Looked up, saw Jesus scurrying over top of that which was the hillside, coming down to the River Jordan to be baptized. He looked at him, and immediately he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I cannot go to heaven except through that Lamb of God. I cannot go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Say amen. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, He saves me, He washes me, He cleanses me, He writes my name in the book of life, He seals it onto the day of redemption. And when I die, I take my last breath here, but I take my next breath in heaven, and thank God for a church that believes that and cares about people enough to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying it is important that we understand how that precious blood comes into play for you and I as believers. Many years ago, there was a liberal preacher that lived in London. He did not know his Bible very well, though he graduated from some theological school. He graduated, but he did not know his Bible. And there was a boy that was in the church there. He was a pastor of a church, but he's a liberal and did not know his Bible. And so this boy came to him one day and said, my mom is dying. Would you please get her in? Get her in. Well, this liberal preacher did not have a clue what the boy was talking about. Get her in. So he said, look, it's raining outside. He said, I don't feel like going out. Why don't you call the police? Maybe the police can get her in. He thought the woman was drunk out in the street somewhere and needed somebody to get her in the house. The boy said this, you don't understand. My mother is dying. She's already at home. I want to get her in heaven. Please go see my mama. I want my mama to go to heaven. That liberal preacher, he had not a clue. He didn't know. He didn't know what to do. He had not a clue. He didn't know how to tell somebody how to go to heaven. He wasn't even going himself. He had not a clue. And so he went over to visit. He grabbed a Bible on the way out that his mother gave him many, many years ago. He grabbed a Bible, and it had, of course, you know how your Bible has these little ribbons in it. And the ribbon was right there. It was in Romans chapter 3. It had underneath Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 another reference written to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And what his mother had done when he had left for college is she had outlined the entire Romans road. At the top of the page, it said how to go to heaven, marked right across the top of the page, all capital letters in bold, and it said how to go to heaven. He grabbed that Bible on the way out. As he grabbed that Bible on the way out, he went to this hospital. He's all nervous, and the woman wanted to sing songs. And one of the songs that she wanted to sing, she had a hymn book there, and there's people gathered in that not the hospital room, but in the room of her house that they turned into a hospital room. And one of the things was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They begin to sing that. Those neighbors that had come in that wanted this woman to be saved had come in and gathered, and they were singing that. Now, they didn't show her how to be saved. They were just singing. They were hoping the preacher would show her how to be saved. He opened that Bible, and as he began to read that, are you listening to me? He led her to Christ, and at the very same time, he led himself to Christ. He got saved, and he got up in church the next Sunday. He said, I want you to know that I got her in, but when I got her in, I got in also. You see, salvation is for everybody. I remember when I was in Bible school many years ago, back in Bible college, I remember that there was a young man that was graduating with me. And as he was graduating with me, I remember him standing inside in that line of our graduation line. And I remember him looking at me and saying, Mike, he said, we're getting ready to graduate from Bible school. And he said, but I got a problem. I said, what is the problem? He said, I'm not saved. Now, we've been to Bible school together. We'd sat in all those classes where we learned the Bible, and here we are. We're standing, and I think there's about 30 some of us, and we're standing in line getting ready to get a diploma of graduation from graduating from a Bible college. And here he looked at me, and he said, I got a problem. He said, I am not saved. I said, well, I think we can take care of that right now, don't you think? Do you want to be saved? He said, I want to be saved. And between the time of them calling his name and him walking across that platform and getting that diploma, he had bowed his heart, standing in that line right beside me, and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. You know, you can get saved anywhere. Brother Edipaya was my soul winning partner yesterday, and we went out and yesterday morning, and he's a faithful man. I appreciate him. We're knocking on the door, and he was standing there beside me, and there's these two teenage girls, and boy, they were standing there, and I asked him a question. I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And one of those precious little girls looked at me and said, I don't know. I said, well, the good news is you can know. Let me show you what the Bible says you need to know. And I opened the Bible and I showed her how to be saved. Within just a few minutes of understanding the gospel truth, she bowed her heart. She received Jesus Christ as Savior. Can I ask you a question? What about your neighbor? Can I ask you a question? What about your daddy? What about your mama? Do they know that they're saved? Have you done your part? What about you? If you were to take your last breath while sitting in the pew that you're sitting in this morning, would you be absolutely 100% certain that your next breath would be in heaven? It's a wonderful thing to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a wonderful thing to be saved and know it. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say, I know that I can not only be a Christian, but I can overcome all things. Why? Because it is God through His Son that allows me. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. What builds your faith? You come to church on a Sunday night and God bless you. You come to church on a Sunday night and you sit there and the preacher gets up and the preacher begins to preach. And you sit there, bless your heart, and you say, well, I didn't get much out of it. I heard that before. Okay, but can I tell you something? You take vitamins, you take them every day. You could do this. You could say, I took a vitamin 2 weeks ago. That was good enough. I remember taking a vitamin when I was 10. That was good enough. No, you take it every day. Some of you take them several times a day. You know why? You know it's healthy for you. You know, when you come to church, it's healthy for you. You come to church and the preacher, you sit there, but I don't feel. You got to be careful about that feeling stuff. It'll get you in trouble. The boy says, I feel like I love her. You better run from that, son. You better know you love her. But, you know, here we are, and we come to church, and, we got to be careful about this stuff. We really do. We live in such a charismatic, feel-oriented society. Have you ever done this? You ever gone to an amusement park? You've taken your child, and in the amusement park, your child, they just rode a ride. And you say, you want to ride it again? And they say, oh, that was boring. You know why? Because they didn't feel the excitement of the ride. And sometimes what we do is we compare church with a feeling. Well, you know, if it was a song and it moved me, nothing about moving your spirit. You're talking about moving your toe. You know, a preacher, I heard that song and boy, I feel God. Why don't you know God? Look, I know I'm married. Can I confess? I know I'm married. I'll be married. Write it down. March the 25th, write it down. Buy me a Rolls Royce. Send me to Hawaii. Help Mrs. Wells and I to go to the moon. We'll marry 30 years. Now watch this, if you will. You know, there's times where I don't feel like, I'm sorry, but I don't feel like holding my wife's hand. There's times when my wife wants sugar. Sugar in the South is when you pucker, your wife puckers, and you meet lips. That's called sugar. It's called sugar. And so, but there's been times my wife wants sugar, and I don't want to give her sugar. I don't feel very sweet right now. Well, that doesn't mean I don't love. And by the way, every time she wants sugar, she gets sugar. Hello. Makes the marriage sweet. You'll get that after a while. But may I say this? I'm saying that, look, you understand that a person has to put into a relationship what they want out of a relationship. Now stay with my thought, and I'm almost done. So somebody comes to church, and they look at their watch. Well, I wish he'd hurry up. I've got more important things to do. What you put in a relationship is what you get out of a relationship. The reason some of you feel so void of God is because you're not putting much in, so you're not getting much out. What you put in is what you're going to get out. Well, I think I'll show up on Sunday morning and bless God. Well, why don't you show up on Sunday night and shock God? What you put in is what you're going to get out. Somebody says, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I never come on Wednesday night. I wouldn't brag on it. What I would do is I would try and come as much as I could. That way you get more out of it. You ever sit down to a meal and you're hungry? It don't matter really what's being served, does it? Now, you don't want bitter herbs. You don't want that. But it really doesn't matter. If mama burned the rolls just a little bit, if you're hungry, you might brush them off, you might not, but you're going to eat them. And you're going to be thankful. My Bible says to the hungry, every bitter herb is sweet. That's the way it is in church. You know, when hurting people come to church, they always love it because God gives them something. When void people come to church, they always love it because God gives them something. It's those of us that are satisfied that come to church that it seems like we get nothing because we become comfortable with who we are. Let me give you a last thought and I'm done. I said we must overcome. Statement number two, I said we can become overcomers. Statement number three, and I'm done. Here it is. How can we become overcomers? Here it is. I'm done. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. The Bible says they overcome him, talking about the devil, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The Bible says, and they loved not their lives unto death. How do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. I want you to notice this one. You ready? I'm back in 1 John, look at chapter 4, look at verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, last verse I read. Here it is, I'm done. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 4:4, 1 John. Says, ye are of God, little children. Let me tell you why that's noteworthy. In the Bible, God never refers to you as an adult. You won't see it one time in your Bible. In the Bible, God refers to you as young children, little children, or children. Young children is the very youngest. Little children is between children and young children. So he's talking to those that are medium age. And he says to these that are medium age, by the way, medium age means they have medium wisdom. Medium age means that they have medium understanding. These are not the wisest. These are just people that know. These are not the smartest. These are just people that know. These are not the ones that have had all victory. These are people that's just tasted a few. Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. It says, ye are of God, little children. Doesn't say young children. Doesn't say children. It's the medium ones. It says little children. It says, and ye have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So how is it that somebody that is of medium wisdom can overcome? How is it that somebody that's not all wise and is not all powerful and is not all knowing, doesn't possess all that they should, how is it that they can overcome? The Bible says, ye are of God, little children. Don't forget it. He says, ye have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you. There's a greater strength inside of you that's the Lord Jesus Christ than you are yourself. You ever do this? You ever have a burden? And you have nowhere else to turn but God. You been there? Have you been there? And all of a sudden you fall on your face and you say, God, this is Mike. Now you might not say that, especially if your name's not Mike. But you fall on your face and you say, dear God, this is Mike. Now I want you to know I have a heavy burden. And God, I know nobody can help me with my burden like you. My friends can encourage. My loved ones can encourage. But there's no one that can help me like you. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God begins to remind you of the sweetness of God's touch. Reminds you of things that maybe you once forgot. And you get up off your knees and you say, boy, it's just going to be okay. Where'd you get that encouragement? You got that encouragement from the Lord. Hello? Brother Nash, how old are you? You had to think. 49. 49. Stand up. He's got whitened hair. He's got a belly. 49. Now, wait a minute. He'll probably die before most six-year-olds that's in this room. I'm trying to encourage you. He'll probably die before most 12-year-olds in this room. He'll probably die before most 18-year-olds that's in this room. He might even die before some 25-year-olds. He may. He may. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But what he does with his faith will be remembered forever. What he does with that faith will be remembered forever. I thank you. Be seated. We have Grandpa Butler here today. Brother Butler, raise your hand, Grandpa. David, his grandboy, sits beside him. Mark, beside him. Now, Grandpa's not going to live forever. But can I tell you something? what he instills inside these boys, what he instills inside Daniel, what he instills inside those children will live on forever. They'll remember a verse. They'll remember a word. They'll remember a prayer. They'll remember an encouragement. The Ebers, where's the Ebers at? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Admit it. They won't live on forever, but the Fentons, their grandkids are here. Hello? And what they do in putting their lives in these grandkids will live on forever. I'm saying there's a way to help others overcome. There's a way. How do you do it? You help them to overcome by you overcoming. And as you overcome, you got two children. As daddy overcomes, both those children are going to look at him and say, I remember when daddy went through this, and I remember how he responded. And that will bear witness in their hearts until the day they die. Father, help us, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.